Does Jesus want you to be a radical? Tim Staples next on Catholic Answers Focus. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Focus. I am Cy Kellett, your host. And, well, Jesus, what did he want from us? Did he want us to be just the nice people that we're trying our best to be, or did he want something more from us? And I suppose that's connected to what he has to offer us as well. And here to discuss all of that is the Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers, Tim Staples. Hello, Tim.
Hello, Cy Kellett. Great to be with you, as always.
And with you, but radical, that doesn't sound good. We're always hearing about how people got radicalized, and it never is after something good.
That is true, and yet we're titling this Jesus Radical Call to Discipleship. And you know what I really think is crucial? This is a crucial message for our Catholic culture today, for Christian culture in general, and is what is desperately needed in the culture at large, and that is a presentation of Jesus Christ, pure and simple, the way he called us in the first century versus all of the different versions we give today.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus is so nice and he loves you so much. He just loves you just the way you are. Well, and of course, Jesus loves us just the way we are, but he loves us too much to allow us to stay there. Jesus calls us to radical conversion because ultimately, Cy, that's the only way to get to heaven. You don't get to heaven. You know, disturbing words from our Lord in Revelation chapter 3, verse 16. He says, be hot or cold. If you be lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That doesn't sound good.
That doesn't sound very nice.
Isn't it something how in that text, Jesus indicates he prefers the cold to the lukewarm?
Yeah.
Because at least with the cold, there's the hope of them turning in their need. I'm freezing. I need to be warmed up. But the lukewarm are very dangerous because they think they're fine just the way they are. See, to me, Cy, one of the most important messages that we need today, forget about the culture, Christian culture, but in the Catholic Church, is wake up. Jesus really does call us to radical conversion. Because when that happens, when folks actually respond to the call of Jesus, man, you're going to have no longer the problem with getting volunteers. Oh, man, we can't get volunteers at the parish. We can't get anybody to teach RCIA. We can't get them to do this or that. You know why? One of the reasons is because they don't know Jesus.
Yes, right.
Look at all the Catholic divorce now. It's hardly different between the Catholics and the world. Well, yeah, because so many don't know Jesus. That's what I wanted to focus on here. Hey, well, focus. Focus.
Yeah, there you go. Well, okay, so if I can go to the radicalization that we're familiar with, usually they mean a person became radically attached to, say, white supremacy or jihadi Islam or something like that.
Right.
And that the cure for this is to return people to a kind of state of middle-class secular tranquility. Do you see what I'm saying?
That's right.
But you're proposing, that's not going to do the job. What we really need is a different kind of radicalism.
That's right. Yeah, the Western response is, you know, let's give them porn.
That'll calm them down.
Give them porn. That'll calm, you know.
That's fine. it saps you of your humanity in a way. Yeah.
Unfortunately, though, this is true. This is how warped our mindset is in the West. Well, Jesus has the ultimate answer. Now, let me give you three examples of what I mean right in that Bible of ours.
Okay.
One is found in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 61. And we all know the story. A man comes to Jesus, says, Lord, I want to follow you wherever you go. Right? And Jesus, what does he do? He says, oh, well, all you have to do is say the sinner's prayer. We'll get your tithing envelopes and you're ready to go, right?
Your tithing envelopes. I like that part.
That's right. That's what I'd have done as an Assembly of God youth minister. Absolutely. But Jesus didn't get that memo because what does Jesus say? He challenges the man who has come to him and says, I want to follow you. He answers with a challenge. Foxes have holes, birds have nests. The Son of Man hath not a place to lay his head. Wow, Jesus, you didn't read the book How to Win Friends and Influence People, because that's not the way you treat somebody who's saying he wants to follow you. You thank him.
Yeah.
You offer him a red carpet, right? No, Jesus says, in essence, I don't even have a place to lay my head. The implication being, if you follow me, the same might await you. This is a challenge. Are you sure you're absolutely committed? And then another man comes and says, Lord, I want to follow you, but first let me go bury my father. Now, that's a reasonable request, Si. You'd think Jesus would say, I'm so sorry to hear of your loss. Yeah, take the time you need. No, that's not what we hear from Jesus. Jesus says, let the dead bury their dead. Oh, my goodness. Jesus needs sensitivity training, Si. There is a serious problem.
That is a very insensitive thing. You're right.
Let the dead bury their dead. Come thou and follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, there's profound implications here. Jesus is here revealing his divinity, because nothing and no one can come before him, because he is Almighty God. He is not just a prophet. This is a powerful revelation here that we would all do well to heed. But look at it on its face. This is Jesus saying to this man, yes, I know you're hurting and such, but what's most important for you is to give everything and follow me, and to put nothing and no one before me. And then a third person comes. Lord, I want to follow you, but first, let me go back to the house and say goodbye to the folks.
Yeah.
Right? Now, that's a Tim Staples translation. And what does Jesus say? No man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's a
hard one.
It is, and it's also a reference, scripture scholars tell us, back to the call of Elisha. If you remember when Elijah called Elisha, Elisha said, let me go back and take care of the family and the farm, because remember, he was plowing.
Yeah.
And Elijah says, yes, go take care and then come and follow me. So Jesus is here telling us in a very sublime way, someone greater than Elijah is here.
Oh, yeah.
Almighty God. But the consistent theme, and we see this throughout the Gospels, is Jesus asked for absolute surrender. Come and follow me. Think of the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew chapter 15, who has a daughter who's grievously vexed with a demon, comes to Jesus, please heal my daughter. Jesus answers her not a word. He just keeps walking. She cries all the more after him. Now, I'm skipping some parts here for time's sake. She cries all the more after him. And then this time he says, I'm not come but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He apparently, it appears, rejects her a second time. Mm-hmm. I'm not come for you. And she's crying.
Yeah.
But, and then he keeps walking and she cries out all the more. And what does Jesus say? I mean, you think, all right, third time he's going to say, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
But she cries out all the more. And this time he says, it's not right to take the food from the children and give it to dogs.
Yeah.
Now he calls her a dog. And what does she do? She acknowledges it. She says, yes, Lord. St. Francis of Assisi said, unless we all understand, we are the pups begging for morsels from the master's table. We will never find the Lord, because that is where salvation begins. She says, yes, Lord, but even the pups eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And that's what's sparked our Lord to say, I've not found such a great faith here, right?
Yeah, right.
Actually, he doesn't say that there. He says that elsewhere, but he means it in his heart, because what does he say? Your daughter is healed. Yeah. Great is your faith, and her daughter was healed from that moment. Now, of course, Jesus wanted to heal her and heal her daughter from the start, but the bottom line is he is eliciting, through these radical statements, absolute surrender. And that's what the God. One last one, Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 6, we have the apostles, disciples, come to Jesus saying, Lord, did you hear? Pontius Pilate is mingling the blood of Jews with the evening sacrifice. Now, this is radical stuff here, Si.
Yeah.
I mean, Pilate was killing Jews, mixing their blood with the pagan sacrifices. Pilate was a monster, my friend, right?
Yeah.
So you'd think Jesus, now no doubt the folks were zealots. They wanted Jesus to say, let's take up arms, man. We're going to do something about this.
The time has come. This is enough.
But his response to say it was disarming. I mean, imagine all the fervor and such. What are we going to do? And Jesus says, do you think these were sinners above all other Galileans who had these things happen to them? I say to you, no, but unless you repent, the same thing's going to happen to you. Wow. Can you imagine the crap?
What?
The jaw hangs open.
Yeah.
What did he just say? In other words, he constantly, in the midst of difficult situations, I want to follow you, but my dad died. I want to follow you, but let me go say goodbye.
Right.
My daughter is vexed with a demon, right? These are serious situations here now. People are being killed. They're being martyred. And he brings them all back to what's most important, and that is radical commitment to him. Almighty God come in the flesh. And then Jesus adds another part. He says, or consider those 18 upon whom the tower at Siloam fell.
Yep.
Do you think that was Jesus' own? He said, hey, I read the newspaper here, right? What about those 18 upon whom the tower fell? Do you think they were sinners above all others? No, they weren't. But unless you repent, the same thing will happen to you. I would suggest you, Cy, in our Catholic culture at large, we need mission preachers. We need priests to stand in pulpits. We need apologists to do it too. And anyone who gets a chance to speak to anyone as a Catholic, we need to challenge people to radical commitment to Jesus Christ, because ultimately, a lot of the things that we spend all our time trying to help people with, ailments and, oh, I'm hurting here and this or that, will actually be settled by radical commitment to Jesus Christ. It's not as though this is the end-all, be-all. It's not, but it's the beginning.
But don't you think, or do you think, that a lot of us don't do it? We don't make that radical call to others, either because we've been tepid in our response and we're really not so sure, or we actually think, well, they'll probably be disappointed. I mean, that, you know, like Jesus isn't, he's not going to heal them. He's not going to, like, we really don't have the faith to go, turn it all over to Jesus, and magnificent, wonderful transformations will happen to you.
Ah, can I tell you a Father Vincent Serpa story?
Yeah.
Years ago, when obviously Father Vincent was our chaplain as well as apologist, I remember I had a young evangelical minister that I was in a back and forth with for a long time. And he was struggling because, I'll tell you, we were at lunch, and this young man, three young kids, he's a pastor of an evangelical community. And I was talking to him about the Blessed Mother of all things, and he burst into tears. He dropped his head in his hands and he said, I quote, "Oh my God, Tim, this stuff is true.
Oh,
what am I going to do?"
Right, right.
And you know what? At that moment, I remember thinking, oh my gosh, you know, if he leaves his community, he's leaving his paycheck, his pension, his
So now you're
everything.
Worried for him.
That's right. And he's got three small kids and this and that. And I hemmed and hawed and got back to the apologetics and such.
Yeah.
I talked in spiritual direction, easy for me to say, with Father Serpa about that. And Father Serpa kind of slapped me.
Yeah.
And he said, you know what, Tim? He said, the same Holy Spirit that brought tears to that young man's eyes and brought him to that place is the same Holy Spirit that's going to bring him all the way home and take care of his kids and every other situation. Your job is to proclaim the gospel. And I shrunk in my seat. I was like, oh my gosh, Father Serpa just hit me with what I hit other people with all the time, but I didn't live in a real life situation. But you know what?
What?
That young man is Catholic.
Praise
today.
God. Yeah, praise
and you
God
know what?
That. Yeah.
God did take care of those three kids. Yes, he lost his position. He had to get a job with a philanthropic organization, took a pay cut and everything else, but he is a happy man today. That conversation continued, but the bottom line was this. Sometimes it's out of respect for persons. It's out of a genuine, and I think misguided, in my case certainly, a misguided sense of love and compassion. Because we know that it's a hard road that lies ahead. And so there's a real sympathy and empathy in our hearts. But what we have to do is order our lives toward the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we alone possess as Catholics, not our feelings, our sentiments. We cannot fall to a sentimentality that leads us away from the gospel.
Well, what about the person who accepts the radical call to follow Jesus but sees it primarily as engaging in culture war,
yes,
or engaging in, I'm going to be the truth teller, no matter come what may,
amen,
and misses out on that part that you always remind us about, and very annoyingly, I have to say, that if it's not about loving your neighbor, forget it.
Amen.
It's pointless.
I think we just read that in the gospel this past Sunday, didn't we?
Yeah.
Love one another as I have loved you. John chapter 13, verse 34, which was in the heart of the gospel reading this past Sunday. That is the most radical call possible right there. Love one another. Not just love one another with that sentimentality of, I don't want to upset you.
Yeah.
You've got three small children. No, it's love one another as I have loved you. It's loving enough to love like Jesus did. You know what Jesus did? He said, let the dead bury their dead. You come and follow me.
Yeah.
That's love,
yeah.
Si.
Right.
That's love, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Somehow, you know, our absolute destruction of the term love,
yeah,
it's been so watered down that it's the wimpy version of the nice Jesus that would never challenge anyone. That's what has been misinterpreted as love. And that's why, my friend, I believe in our popular culture, people have lost a sense of what love is and don't even believe in love anymore.
Yeah.
A love that will die for you.
While you're speaking there, that a thought came to me. I want to run this by you now. That the part of the idea that our society is willing to do all kinds of things, like be part of a movement or go to a march or that kind of thing, and the same society says it really doesn't matter what you do in your private life. It might be because love actually requires you to change your private life, or
yes,
you're not going to be able to love.
Amen.
But being in a movement, yeah, you can go march, you can throw rocks, you can do whatever without that. So that the radical call isn't just to public expressions, but our, yeah, private life is related to that.
Amen. An essential part of the call is the ordinary time. Most of the liturgical year we spend in ordinary time, don't,
yeah,
we?
Right.
Because it's the ordinary time. In fact, it's the time when nobody's looking.
Yeah, right.
That's,
yeah,
the hidden years of our blessed Lord is what led to Cana in John chapter 2. And it's the same thing in our lives. It's what we do when nobody's looking that's going to determine how we react when real situations arise in our lives, real crises.
Yeah.
A kid is sick, cancer, whatever it may be, you're able to respond. Why? Because if you're, Jesus said it, if you're faithful in the little things,
yeah, yeah,
you'll be faithful in the big things. But when you're not faithful in the little things, and these are not so little when we're talking about love, we're talking about not only the stuff we do when nobody's looking, but also it's loving your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
It's
like your actual neighbor, like not in,
yeah,
theory,
the
but
guy the, living
the
next
person
door
who's a pain in the neck to you. Or that, yeah,
that's right. I mean, that is real Christianity, isn't it?
Yeah.
Love. Oh, but I want to go to India and proclaim the gospel. Yeah. Do you love your wife and kids?
Right.
Do you love your neighbor? Do you go out of your way to love? And that, what is love but to prefer or will the good of the other? That has to be what we are about as Christians, because that is what Jesus Christ was all about. In fact, that's what God is. 1 John 4:8. God is love.
So whatever we're saying to ourselves, Lord, okay, you know what? I will follow you, Lord, as soon as I get this done, as soon as this is taken care of, I get the kids through college, or I get this business established, or whatever.
Amen.
You're saying, no, it's deeper, yeah, than that, more radical.
Absolutely. It's a matter of dropping everything. You think of the rich young man in Matthew 19:16, right? What must I do to have everlasting life? No doubt we can be exactly the rich young man. What must I do? But in the back of our minds, mm-hmm, we're saying what we won't do.
Yeah,
right.
That's exactly
just don't
right.
let it. Don't yeah. let it be right. that. Anything yeah. else?
How okay. do you? How can you see in the back of my mind?
That's
right. exactly it. Yeah,
that's it. But whatever, what must I do? And of course, he says, keep the commandments. whew, says the rich young man, right?
Yeah. I done it.
I'm doing that one. Oh, one more thing. Give everything to the poor. Follow me. He walked away sad. I mean, and ultimately, that is the call of the gospel. The gospel is more than keeping the commandments. That's what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. It's more than keeping the commandments. It's love. It's going beyond what human nature is capable of doing, and that is loving one another as I have loved you, says Jesus.
Tim Staples, thank you very much.
This was too much fun.
Yeah, the gospel is a radical call. It's always good to be reminded of it, and it's always a little bit painful to be reminded of it, frankly.
Amen.
Well, thank you for joining us on Catholic Answers Focus this time. Again, I'm Cy Kellett, your host. And if you're listening to this on, say, iTunes or you're an Android device, if you would give us a like or a thumbs up or whatever happens there, or maybe even a comment and share this podcast with others, we'd be very, very grateful. That's what helps it grow. This is Catholic Answers Focus, and we'll see you next time.